And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Mantra Meditation Hour on CITR 101.9 FM with your congenial host, Raghunath.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Raghunath. I'll be here for the next hour playing various kirtan and mantra music. Today is a special show. Currently celebrating Black History Month here on CITR. So we're going to do a show in that line of that nature. First two tracks. We have quite a bit of material to get through today, so get rolling straight away. First two tracks are going to be from Kenya. The first track is entitled, the actual translation would be something to the extent of Song at Dawn, or Song of Dawn. You see, like in so many different traditions around the world, the sun plays a very significant role in the culture. The recognition of the sun and what it is providing. There's also a common theme. You look in Vedic tradition and also other traditions, there's a personification of the sun, sometimes even seen as being pulled on a chariot by celestial horses and things of that nature. Sometimes the sun is referred to as being the eye of the divine. That's also a common thread in many different cultures, ancient Egypt, and again Vedic culture. And many other indigenous cultures as well, especially throughout Africa also. So another terminology for to explain that divine nature, one that I'm familiar with anyway, is Surya Narayan, which basically means pretty much that the sun is a representation of the divine or supreme energy emanating into the material world and illuminating everything, providing sustenance and energy growth, these types of things. So this is a recording from Kenya. It's kind of a short one. And then following that will be Ayub Ogada. He is, I can read a little bit about him, which would probably be better than me speaking about him, because I'm not so familiar with him. I'm familiar with his music, but not so much his background. So it says, Ayub Ogada's life is a prime demonstration of the wonders of cultural collision. He's also coming from Kenya as well. The exposure to both traditional African and modern Western values provided a rich background on which he founded his unique musical talents. Ogada is one of the Luo people of Western Kenya, and he received his first exposure to Western culture early on. When he was 6, his parents, who were also musicians, toured the college circuit in the U.S. Ogada then returned to Kenya with his parents and was educated in the Catholic school, then an English boarding school. After finishing school, he played for several years in the Kenyan group called African Heritage Band, which fused traditional music with the sounds of rock and soul that Ogada and bandmates heard regularly on the radio. In 1986, he decided to take his talents abroad, armed with his nyatiti, which is a lyre-like stringed instrument. He went to the UK and played on the streets for money. After the better part of a year, he was approached and asked to play at Peter Gabriel's WOMAD Festival. In 1993, he was invited to Gabriel's Real World Studios, where he recorded his first album, which is entitled In Mane Kuyo, or which translates to Just Sand. And he's continuously touring, still working with many different artists, collaborating with many different artists, including Sushil, Raman, and others. So the first chant will be, as I said, it's a kind of like a sun salutation or addressing Surya Narayan, and then followed by Ayub Ogada with a track entitled Krukrangniko, I think. Pretty sure. You listen to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is a special Black History Month edition of Mantra, and we'll be back right after this little set to kind of, we're going to move on throughout different places. Today we'll be going to also to Jamaica, to Ethiopia, to Jamaica, to South America, to Brazil, and also the East Coast of the United States, in New York and Brooklyn.
Yeah, bye-bye. Santa, Grunkroin Crow, yeah, 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 oh, my bassy, oh, my man, Grunkroin Crow, I'm away, Grunkroin Crow, yeah, Santa, oh, my bassy, oh, my man, Grunkroin Crow, I'm away, Grunkroin Crow, yeah, 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 bye bye.
Wesley Williams, Maestro Fresh West is a Canadian rapper born in Toronto on March 31, 1968. Known to some as the godfather of Canadian hip-hop, Maestro owns both the best-selling Canadian hip-hop single and album of all time, each of which were the first to be certified gold, with his track Let Your Backbone Slide and debut album Symphony in Effect.
Let's take a closer listen to Maestro Fresh West's hit single Let Your Backbone Slide.
This jam is amplified, so just glide, glide, and let your backbone slide.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM. Come feel the joie de vivre and chase away the last gray days of winter at the Festival du Bois, March 3rd and 4th at Mackin Park, Maelville in Coquitlam. The Festival du Bois happens every year on the first weekend of March and is a relaxed and unique atmosphere of a village party. Adults can let go to the sounds of folk, Celtic, and world music, and children will delight in entertainment created just for them. Everyone gets a chance to enjoy great original French-Canadian food, and best of all, it's an event for the entire family. For more information, visit the website festivaldubois.ca.
Well, we're back. So in the next set, we're going to hear, we're going to move a little bit further, a little bit further to the north in eastern Africa, to Ethiopia. And I'm going to play something that is recorded by, was recorded by Sheikh Mohammed Awal, who's coming from an Ethiopian Islamic tradition. And this is entitled Menzuma Dika, which is spelled Z-I-K-R, but pronounced like D-H-I-K-R. And this word means remembrance or remembrance of God, pronouncement or invocation. It's an Arabic word. So I mean, a bit of a description here, which is worth noting. Menzuma is an Ethiopian Islamic devotional chant that contains remembrances of Allah, O God, and praises of the Prophet Muhammad. So the word dika is commonly commonly translated as remembrance or invocation. In reality, it has taken a wide range and various layers of meaning. For instance, while dhikr is commonly understood as the practice of remembering God, it is also being used in the Islamic sources to indicate God as the subject and the servant as the object of dhikr. It's essentially the practice of dhikr is the form of prayer in which the Muslim will express his or her remembrance of God either within or overtly. This may come in the form of recitation, lyrical chanting, or simply always remembering God in one's heart. In Islamic mysticism or Sufism, dhikr is most likely the most frequent form of prayer. Among the orders of Muslims that practice dhikr, there are some who advocate silent individual prayer, while others join together in an outward group expression of their love for God. So this recording, as I said before, is by a gentleman named Sheikh Mohammed Awal. It's called Manzooma Dhikr. It's about 4 minutes long or so. After that, we're going to move across to Jamaica and another tradition which is coming in many ways from Ethiopia, the Rastafari followers.
اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي
وحمد لمولانا على ما هدانا صلاة ربنا قدر مولانا مسكنا يقبا يا در يا در قل طيبا مدي دنيا تابا يا ورد المدينة محمد الهادي خير العالمين
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا
وجب حمد لمولانا على ما هدانا صلاة ربنا قدر مولانا مسكنا يقبا ويا رقلا طيبا مدي دنيا تابا ويا ورد المدينة محمد الهادي خير العالمين
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا
على محمد أفضل الوجود أعجب المشهود في خلق مولانا صلاة الناس سلام بمدينة إمام بمبزات بمتام يا بجو قدانا محمد الهادي خير العالمين
اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد
على محمد إن أفضل الوجود إن أعجب المشهود في خلق مولانا صلاة الناس سلام بمدينة إمام بمفزات بمطام يا بجة قدانا محمد الهادي خير العالمين
اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد
الهادي وعلى آله حزبه وصاله وصحابته حماد ديننا ببيت سفوجهم دم وبتفرجهم بتكتاوجهم بأقوى زود بدهنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين
اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا
وسيد العالمين نور الله المبين تاج المقربين في حضرة الهنا ودينا كاكاني ككني ياس وكاني على شفرا وكاني نقار هننا
محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد
ورتي سر العجيب فضله المجيب يا له من حبيب بين المرسلين رجعت في اللقاء تطيبا وبلا ألقا بقول الله بدقا إجال لو ساكنا محمد الآلي غير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الآلي غير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا وسر العجيب فضله المجيب يا له من حبيب بين المرسلين رجعت في اللقاء تطيبا وبالا لقاء بقول الله بدقا إجال لو ساكنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الهادي خير العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد أجب محمد الزاتي أحمد صفاتي مصدر الحياة كتاب مبين
So that was a Ethiopian Islamic chant sung by Sheikh Mohammed Awal. We're going to move to another part of Ethiopian culture and across the ocean a little ways to Jamaica. And we're going to hear, amongst other things, the Nyabingi chant about His Majesty Haile Selassie, otherwise known as Rastafari. And we're also going to hear from a gentleman named Patrick Francis, who is a Vancouver local. I had the good fortune to chat with him yesterday and just record a little bit of our conversation about Rastafari culture and its origins coming from Ethiopia to the West Indies and beyond. Some of the values and some of the meanings. So we're going to kind of meander through that for the next 5 or 10 minutes. Included in there will be a chant by Haile Israel, again offering his homages to Haile Selassie, coming from the Nyabingi mansion of the three mansions of the Rastafarian people.
They've always been chanting to God, you know, and they just call God a different name, or they still have this idea that there's a one God, that He rules everything, He's in charge of the whole nature, and He's worthy to be praised, as they say, you know. So they always try to praise God all the time, you know, and they're always about good fellowship towards human beings. They understand that all men are created equal, all men are brothers in some way, some kind of spiritual family. So that was their whole premise in life. And here's one of their typical chants that they say, "Oh Jah, thou hast promised to hear I chant. Oh Jah, thou hast promised to hear I chant. Oh Farai, hear I and I when I chant. Say, teach I and I what to chant. Oh Farai, thou hast promised me to hear I pray. Oh Farai, thou hast promised to hear I pray. Oh Farai, thou hast promised to hear I pray. Oh Jah, hear when I pray. Say, to teach I and I when to pray, or what to pray." So, you know, and they have this whole idea about I and I, you know, instead of referring to yourself as the one person, they always, you know, say it's just not just you, it's you and someone, it's I and I, it's like I am the creator, or one. So they always have these sayings, you know, you would never hear a Rasta just say, "I am going somewhere," you would always say, "I and I are going somewhere, I and I are going," you know, and you always refer to in speaking to someone else as I and I, you know, like we are together. So they always had this kind of idea that humans are not just flesh and bones, we are spirit conscious souls, and you know, the chanting was, you know, all about to glorify God. and to encourage other people to glorify God, you know, and, you know, speak of God in many different ways and language.
So long, Rastafari, I call you so long. So long, Rastafari, I call you so long. For the enemy surrounds you, he's trying to devour you. So long, Rastafari, I call you so long. So long, Rastafari, I call you, look so long. So long, Rastafari, I call you so long. I see the enemy surround you, he's trying to devour you. So long, Rastafari, I call you so long. Look all along, Naya Bingi, I call you so long. So long, Naya Bingi, I call you so long. I see the enemy surround you, trying to devour you. So long, Naya Bingi, I call you so long.
But Naya, son Noah, who had the three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, who we read about in the Bible. And Ben is a Hebrew word for son. Naya Ben, and Noah's son, walked in the way, which is Gi. You tried the straight eternal path, you tried the Gi. And even in martial arts, when you wear the uniform that they use to fight, they call it a Gi. Something that you must learn discipline about. Naya Bingi, the ancient way of protecting and defending the truth, which is where also the tradition of self-defense comes from. We have something to defend. We are not here to take anything from anyone, but we defend our right to speak the truth and to live in harmony with nature. It is the right of every human being. And if everyone give up that right, then I, the Naya Bingi man, shall defend the right, the truth, through word, through song, through power, through lightning and thunder, storm, tempestuous wind, tidal wind, and all the powers of creation shall come to our defense, because it is truth and righteousness that we represent. So these are the chants of the Naya Bingi, without any politics. Look how long, Rastafari, I call you so long. Look how long, Rastafari, I call you so long. For the enemy surround you, trying to devour you. So long, Rastafari, I call you so long. So long, Naya Bingi, I call you so long. So long, Naya Bingi, I call you so long. For the enemy surround you, he's trying to devour you. So long, Naya Bingi, I call you so long.
Selassie, he is kind of a guru figure for a lot of people, right? Like, he kind of has that role of, would you see him in that role, or just as you mentioned before, that it's more of a figurehead rather than a
figurehead.
But people do worship him.
Yeah, a lot of people worship him.
Haile Selassie, he is kind of a guru figure for a lot of people. Right, like, he kind of has that role of, would you see him in that role, or just as you mentioned before, that it's more of a figurehead rather than a
figurehead.
But people do worship him.
Yeah, a lot of people worship him somewhat in ignorance, but at the same time, in a sense, he gave them a reason to worship a God figure. He was there, like. their ray of hope, so to speak, like how some people would worship Jesus as the Christ. He represented God to them. Mm. So they put their worship on him, sort of like he would be their guru. Mm. Because he taught a lot of positive things in the sense of, you know, world peace and acknowledgement of humans as all equal, you know. He made this famous speech to the League of Nations that Bob Marley made famous in a record that says, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than his color of his eyes, there will always be war. And, you know, like, and things like that made him an icon to them, because he would always advocate equality amongst human beings, you know, justice for everyone, you know, everyone should be treated equally. And he kind of fulfilled the true role of what a king should be towards his people, without being too political. He tried to, you know, do the best for his people, but unfortunately, during his reign, he had to deal with a lot of other entities who are more commercially driven, or you know, like other nations who had different perspective on what it was like to be, you know, the ruler of a country. And so they made it hard for him in his lifetime to act as a proper king, even though he was crowned one of the most saintly kings in the end of his dynasty, of the Solomonic dynasty of kings, and which no longer exists after he was the last in that chain. So, you know, all that, and even in the Gita, Krishna says that, you know, like, that's what kings were supposed to do. They were supposed to carry out his orders, that they were supposed to serve the people, you know, by, you know, being the guy that organized them, you know, in a God-conscious way. So Selassie, in his time, he advocated equality among the churches. He totally agreed with the doctrine of every church, totally about spirituality, encouraged people to be God-conscious. You know, even in the heads of states, he was very known to be a man of, like, he held himself like a guru of such, you know, very, you know, not religious, but spiritual in all of his dealings, you know. So he did embody that for a lot of West Indians, as a matter of fact. Not Africans so much, but West Indians who somehow got wind of the fact that this king was to be crowned. Long before his coronation, they had heard that there was going to be a person of his lineage being crowned on earth, and he was going to be the representative of their freedom to exist, you know, their liberation, so to speak. They equated it as black liberation, but in a sense it was spiritual liberation, you know, because he didn't really adhere to the color factor, or the different race theology kind of thing. He was about everyone are human, we're all human beings, we're all one race kind of thing. So that was his philosophy. But people looked up to him because as a black king in Africa, or crown in Africa at that point, when there was a lot of misguided teachings through even the Christian society, that blacks were less than equal, they weren't as good as other nations. And so this king represented to the West Indians, or the black former slaves, the acknowledgement that, yeah, we can be kings, there are possibilities that black people can be rulers of nations, and so on and so forth, and where it was kind of unheard of in the West, especially in America. This was a kind of a knowledge that was kind of not spoken, you know, like there's no way a black person could be a king, because they were supposed to be not smart and servile and you know, and stupid, and those kind of anecdotes were associated to blacks and former slave people at that time. So it was a very tough time for people in the West, especially former African slaves, to form any kind of identity. So with this king being crowned as such, gave some people who knew of him this ray of hope that, hey, yeah, you know, there's possibility that we were, you know, somewhat higher than just slaves at one point or another.
King Bob Marley as prophet. So these are the truths and realities that Rastaman comes to share with the idea. As his chance say, like, so long, Rastafari, I call you so long. So long, Rastafari, I call you so long. For the enemy surround you,
trying to devour you. So long, Rastafari, call you so long. The whole long night I've been here, call you so long. So long now you've been here, call you so long. For the enemy surround you, he's trying to devour you. So long now you've been here, call you so long.
So beware of Babylon, that's what we call the system. Political system, monetary system, media system. All of these systems are clear to govern man and mankind, to tell them what is good and bad, to bring about laws, crime and justice. So we warn people of all of these things through the truth that is inside of everyone. Like Bob Marley used to say, there's a little voice inside of everybody to tell you good from bad. And if you just listen to that voice, I would never tell you a thing. You'd know. That is what we call the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth.
Music, sound vibrations has been, you know, I work with sound, I'm a sound engineer, so I really understand the whole idea of sound vibrations, how pleasing they are to the soul, and knowing the physics of sound itself, you know, that it's actually moving of particles in the air that, you know, can affect your body positive or negative. You know, the whole idea about chanting to God with mantras is, you know, it's a huge significance, because, you know, you actually can feel the results of it, you know. It was the first thing I picked up was the chanting of the mantra, because it made such sense to me, and the more I chanted it, the more I could feel it working through me, you know. So I was really into chanting, and I chanted, you know, like walking to the store, I couldn't get enough of it, you know. And so from that, I could understand what the former guys used to do, like the Rastas, you know, in the hills, they would chant on their drums, and they beat, you know, this beat, and they would be singing praises to God the whole time. And for them, it was spiritually uplifting, you know. And I remember my mom, we used to go to churches as a child, and, you know, the old thing about the Negro spirituals, that they would sing and praise and jump and dance to God the whole time, and it gave them the spiritual high that pulled them through any kind of slavery torture system that they were being led under. This singing and praising to God kind of uplifted them. So the mantras, you know, do work, you know, and if you're chanting the right mantra, it's even more significant. It has pleasing effects.
You listen to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Moving along to the next part of the show, we're going to slide across the ocean a little ways to Brazil and explore a little bit of Capoeira. So Capoeira is basically, just to paraphrase, a form of dance which is fused with fighting or martial art type stuff. Some of the Africans that landed in Portuguese Brazil, they would perform this style of dance in order to strengthen their minds, their hearts, strengthen their bodies, and to strengthen the community in very oppressive times under the rule of slavery in Brazil. So there's a little bit of a write up I can read from. This is a common feature of many Brazilian ethnic groups, for instance, as well as others throughout the world, that music is not so much a form of personal entertainment as it is a medium to bring about group cohesion and dynamic. Music in the context of capoeira is used to create a sacred space through both the physical act of forming a circle, otherwise known as the roda, and an oral space which is believed to connect to the spirit world. This deeper religious significance exists more as a social memory to most capoeira groups, but is generally understood as evidenced in the use of nyoma drums, the brimbo, whose earlier forms were used in rituals in Africa, and the process of speaking with the ancestors, the ever-present term axé, which signifies life force, the invocation of both Afro-Brazilian and Catholic spirituality, and certain semi-ritualized movements used in Capoeira Angola that bring spiritual protection. So the instruments that are used you have a kind of a bowed instrument, various percussion, like a tambourine type instrument, and a rattle. There's different phases to, I'm just looking to see if I can find the actual proper words for those instruments, but I'm not, it's evading me right now. So, in the absence of that, just mentioned that there's different sort of stages to the performance of capoeira. The first stage is the dainha, and then that's kind of like an introduction type, usually like a monologue, just one person. Then I'm not going to be able to pronounce these, but I think it's luva chao, which sort of translates as praise, and this is like a call and response part of the chanting, where it goes back and forth like what you're hearing right now. And then corridos, which is also like that, but a little bit more back and forth, like overlapping. And then there's another thing that is sometimes used called quadros as well. So the recording that I'm going to play right now is by Carolina Suarez, and it's entitled O Ya Vivo Anjodo. And this is mostly the corridos part of the performance of capoeira. I'm just going to read one example of a capoeira chant. And le viva me dus, le viva me maestro, le quem me ensino, le capoeiro, e agua de beba, e ferro de bate, ingoma na goma, e etc. Which translates as, this is just like an example of a luva chao part. It says, long live my God, long live my master, who taught me capoeira. It is water for drinking, it is iron for striking. It is from the sacred drums. Thank you.
vou pra lua. Falei com minha mulher. Ela então me respondeu: nós vamos se Deus quiser. Vamos fazer um ranchinho, todo feito de sapé. Amanhã às 7 horas nós vamos tomar café. Porque eu nunca acreditei, nem posso me conformar, que a lua vem à terra, que a terra vem à lua. Tudo isso é conversa pra comer sem trabalhar. Ó senhor amigo meu, escute o meu cantar. Quem é dono não ciúma, quem não é quem ciúma. Ha, ha. É hora, é hora. Vamos embora.
Vamos embora, camarada.
Pela barra fora.
Pela barra fora, camarada.
E viva meu Deus.
E viva meu Deus, camarada.
E viva meu mestre.
E viva meu mestre, camarada.
E quem me ensinou?
E quem me ensinou, camarada?
E dá volta ao mundo.
E dá volta ao mundo, camarada.
E que o mundo deu?
E que o mundo deu, camarada?
E que o mundo dá?
E que o mundo dá, camarada?
Gerê, como vai, como tá?
Vamos, gerê.
Como vai, vai vencer?
Vamos, gerê.
Se vai vencer.
There's a little example of some capoeiras recorded by Calarina Suarez. We've only got about 10 minutes left of the show, so moving right along. So to the east coast of the United States, I'm going to play two tracks. One track is going to be by Carl Craig, recognized as being part of the second wave of Detroit techno coming out of the east coast of the United States. There was like a thing that happened with that wave of people like Jeff Mills and Carl Craig and others, whereby it seemed like almost the roots to Africa and to the more sort of tribal elements were coming back into
was heard all over tennis. This is how is born the word Edenist.
Back into the music, or to inject a larger amount of emphasis on that. Definitely there's like a mystical aura that surrounds that whole crew of musicians from that side of the country, groups like Underground Resistance and others that just basically there's a whole world of sound and political struggle and active imagination and just activism in general, pushing for a higher consciousness for sure. So the track that I'm going to play is called Alsema Dub Astral Africa by Carl Craig. Following that, we're going to hear from Shrikal and a group of musicians. This is actually a remix of featuring other musicians as well, and otherwise known as the Earthrise Sound System. And Shrikal is coming from, interesting enough, as with some other people of African origin connected to Eastern traditions of Kirtan. So he is one such person as well. I was hoping to play something by Achyuta Gopi, who is a wonderful singer of Kirtan, but I don't think we're going to have time to squeeze her in at the end. But I will close the show now just to make sure that I end on time. Ryan coming up with Butter on the Bread. First track is going to be called Craig, Astral Africa, Osama Dub, and then Shikal with Govinda Fly. We'll be back next week here on CITL 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can go on Facebook, Mantra Radio. Take care of yourselves. Until then, namaste.
I'm feeling my fear and worries decline. I'm hearing your name sounding so divine. You're stealing my heart, now I'm beyond time. My spirit to the cloud, oh yeah, it rises. If you combined it with your tip eyes, give pleasure to the cows that you are riding. Playing in the groves of Vrindavan. I know no one but you as my lord. To be without you, I cannot afford. And your darshan, I'm fully restored. Dust from your feet heals me to the core. Windows to another world in your paintings, explaining a bit more. For you, my heart's a door open wide. So come on, Govinda, fly, fly.
yes, I know you feel it, let me put it in motion. From New York City to Oakland, you're open. We jump in, it's like a body of ocean. Bhakti embody the notion, you're floating. I know you love it, take a sip of the potion. Number 9 is infinite, releasing emotion, yeah. Just let go, we inducing, provoking. You to get loose, but we keeping the focus. Let me know if you're getting the message. Going out to the young and the restless, let's get it. Singing shutting out, mama. Surrender to the mother, we gon' fly high, high. We take you on a trip, beyond the body and mind, hey. To another space, divine, hey. Sharing baby with the voice sublime. Singing Govinda fly, now let's ride.
Just picture Radha and Krishna standing on the banks of the Jamuna River, lover and beloved holding hands in a trance, lost in the glance, divine romance. They dance, many candles in the river flow by. The full moon looms and hangs in the sky. Soon the monsoon will consume the moon. Two hearts in full bloom, lost in the perfume of sweet jasmine. I can imagine 108 gopi girls all dancing to the tune of Krishna's Rasa Raga, the epic love saga of Govinda and Radha. I can hear the bangle dangle on the ankle, sweet like a mango, takes two to tango. As they embrace, flowers fall from the sky. Hare Krishna, Radhe Shyam, Govinda fly.